Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Today, we're continuing to air the third part of Josh McDowell's message on the relevancy of the gospel that he shared with us at our recent CEF of Illinois Ministry Symposium called The Gospel Now. Josh lays out for his listening audience why he believes that we are now living in a divided society of two different cultures, the traditional culture of absolute truth, and now the new culture of relative truth for those ages 35 and younger. This new religion, that all truth is now relative with no external reference point, leaves us with a culture that is growing up believing and thinking and even feeling that there is no absolute truth, no established moral values, or any biblical standard. In fact, the Bible for this upcoming next generation in its truth teaching has become in their hearts and minds obsolete. Josh continues sharing in this third part how this shifting away from the foundational absolute biblical truth has now brought us to this crucial point of seeing how important it is for the Church of Jesus Christ and parents and families to reach the next generation, the children ages 12 and under, with the unchanging truth of God's Word and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with the Gospel Now.
All this starts about 12 years old, when your minds change, where they can process everything. It starts to change. To show you another major change, I called my son, Sean, who co-authored this with me. I think the kid is brilliant, especially with philosophical issues. He's a PhD, he teaches at graduate program at Biola University, still teaches high school too. I don't know how he does it, travels all over the world speaking. Has written I don't know how many best-selling books. I don't know how he does it. But I called him up because he's my sounding board. I never dreamed your child could become your sounding board. There's no one else I know in the world I'd rather call to evaluate intellectual things with than Sean, because he's more in tune than most people I know. So I called him, and I said, and this was about 4 months ago, and I said, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong here. I said, I've been in ministry now 55 years. And I believe this last same-gender debate, same-sex marriage debate, is the first time that feelings trumped science. I think it's the first time that feelings, emotions, has trumped truth, facts. He paused a moment. He said, Dad, you're right. The biology of your gender has nothing to do with it. It's just whatever you think your gender is, what anybody else thinks your gender is. However you feel about yourself, that's what's true. It doesn't matter what science or biology teaches about your body or anything. British Columbia, their government just passed a rule through their parliament, or that now all parents in British Columbia, Canada, can order gender-free birth certificates. You know why? They put it right in the law. We need to make parents feel comfortable. Why? Well, there's no external reference point. All truth is personal, so it gets down to how you feel. You think I'm wrong in that? Well, one, I know I'm not. But let me just give you a little evidence for it. The Oxford Dictionary. Every year they add a word. Can anyone tell me what word, you students up there, there's a guy down there from Bradley. They're pretty smart there, aren't they? What's the new word in Oxford Dictionary this year? Anyone? Come on, students! That's transgender, no. That's too old. It's called post-truth. And this is what it means, the dictionary definition. Relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotions or feelings and personal belief. You see what I've been saying? It's been a total shift. Even the Oxford Dictionary is depicting this shift from objective reality to subjective experience. And this is one reason why. I thank God for CEF. And every pastor in this country and every country in the world ought to bend over backwards to associate with CEF. Because they're one of the few organizations that get it. They get it. If we do not reach them as children, the statistics are going way down. You won't reach them. Why? Because their concept of truth would totally shift by 12 years old. When I asked him tonight, I said, what is the limits of the age that you work with? 4 to 12, I went, that's exactly what I'm saying. I tell pastors, you want to have an effective church in 5 years? Take your youth budget, cut it in half, and put it into your children's ministry, or you'll be obsolete in a few years. If I were a pastor, I'd have CEF operating out of my church. Because they've got the expertise of 80 years on how to do it. And thank God they train and share it with others. So the first thing I have to say tonight, we better start really focusing on children. Or trust me, the church is going to diminish. Now in the second, I'm going to go into two other shifts in culture. And both of them are the ones that augment this first one. Folks, the issue is children. I started out in universities. I've lectured more universities than anyone in history. Millions of college students. And then I went down to high school. Now I'm down to middle school. Why? Because I always wanted to reach a student before they'd made some really nasty decisions that affect their entire life, their relationships, their spiritual life everywhere. That used to be in the university. Then it shifted to high school. Now it's shifted to middle school and younger. Now most speakers go older audiences. I'm going younger. That's why I'm here tonight. And I believe in CEF. Now there are some books out there. One is called, it's probably the most significant book I've ever written, called The Unshakable Truth. And my son joined me with it. How do you present truth in the 21st century? With this total truth shift, how do you do a Bible study today? How do you do youth at the church? How does a pastor preach from the pulpit today to be relevant in the 21st century? I said to my son, we got to find the answer because it's changed. Truth never changes, but the way you present it better. Truth never changes, but its critics do. And you need to change with your critics to explain it. So Sean and I, we spent months researching history. We found the answer 1,800 years ago, and not in the New Testament church. In many ways, the New Testament church was a failure. I bet you've never heard anyone say that. They were a failure. Why? In the first 100 years of Christianity, there were only 25,000 believers in the entire world. There were more Jehovah's Witnesses in one day. It was a failure. And yet almost every single book I've ever read on worldview goes back to the first century church. That's a false premise. We went to the second, third century church. Why? Justin Martyr came onto the scene and said, we got a problem. We got a problem. Just like Bill Hybels said about his church. Justin Martyr said, one, we're not creating true followers of Jesus Christ. This is 130 AD. He looked at the first century church, said, we're not creating true followers of Jesus Christ. Second, he said, we have not created a generation that's passing their faith on to their children. We're the first generation in the history of America that's not doing it. You know who's reaching our children? CEF. It shouldn't be that way. And he uttered three words, believe, behave, belong. Out of those three words came four principles that turned the world upside down. From the first 100 years, 25,000 believers, next 200 years, 20 million believers by the Council of Nicaea, 325. So we wrote the book on it. Four simple steps. How do parents pass their faith onto their children? You can't do it the way your parents did it with you. It won't work. How does a pastor, I believe, truly preach in the 21st century? I've not read another book yet with a better formula than these four principles from Justin Martyr for the 21st century church. How do you teach a Bible study? That's why we did this along with a video, the Unshakable Truth DVD. And then, oh, this thing's huge. Evidence demands a verdict. I wrote this trying to refute Christianity. I set out to make a disaster of evangelical Christians in university. I ended up becoming a Christian, spent 13 years documenting why. I revamped it four times, and I joined my son. In the last 3 years, we've totally rewritten. It's 70% a brand new book. We had 16 scholars and 30 graduate students work 3 years with us. I wanted something that was absolutely accurate, true, and documented. One place a student could go to, one place a parent could go to, one place a professor could go to and trust it. Now, why would you do all that? It's because the questions that I deal with now, they're 50% different than the ones I dealt with 30 years ago. That's the same thing true with CEF. If they were doing everything the exact same way now they did 80 years ago, they'd be obsolete. But they're one of the smart organizations that can shift with a child culture. So we have a whole chapter on truth. You say, what? Yeah. What is truth? I would say in this entire meeting now, all these young people, there might be three of you in this room that could even define truth. I can't remember the last time in a random question, pastors or anyone, I found anyone that could define truth. It's crazy to me. You say, I want to pass truth on to my kids. Well, how can you do that if you can't even define it? How do you know you're teaching the truth if you can't define truth? It's just crazy to me. Can you know truth? We've got a whole chapter on intellectual skepticism. What? Yeah. Because we live in the most intellectual skeptic culture in the history of the world. Why? Because of the internet. And most Christians don't know how to answer that. And their kids are growing up in it. Whole chapter on history. Can you know history? Is history objective? Is there objective truth in history? And then a whole chapter, which I think is worth the whole book. I have no idea what it sells for. I don't get any money from my books. But a whole chapter is worth whatever you pay for this book is called, Is Christianity a Copycat Religion? One of the top three questions you get all over the world. Oh, come on, McDowell. Christianity is no different than the others. They copied from the Greek this and the Romans this and the Greek mythology and this. They copied the resurrection and Christmas and all. And all the Christians fall in it. We absolutely documented historically, it's the other way around. They all borrowed from Christianity. The exact opposite, what even most Christians think, that it was so influenced by the Greek religions and the Roman. No, it was the other way around. And that's why I had to rewrite it, because questions today are a lot different than ones 30, 40 years ago.
Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we continue to air our recent CEF of Illinois Ministry Symposium with Josh McDowell called The Gospel Now. Thank you again, and until then, may the Lord bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.